Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Annie Chepetta, for the Behind Our Eyes book launch for May 23rd, 2024, with Deborah A.K. Thompson and interviewed by Marlene Messat. Take it away, Marlene.
Thank you, Annie. Deborah and I first met through a poetry conference last October, and it has been my pleasure to invite her to become a member of BOW. She has worn many hats in her life, so she will have lots of things to talk about. Welcome, Deborah Thompson.
Thank you, Marlene. I appreciate this. And thanks to BOE, Behind Our Eyes, for allowing me to do this book launch. And thank you for doing the interview for me.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I was really excited to get to know you and to read your book, Enlightenment.
Yeah, looking back to move forward.
Looking back to move forward. I always mess that up. Okay. So to start with, tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, I am a native of St. Petersburg, Florida. I was born in Florida and ended up getting married. And my husband and I, we went off to college. I went to graduate school in Tallahassee, Florida at Florida State University. And upon graduation, I obtained a job in Pensacola, Florida, and we ended up moving there and living there for over 30 years and raising our children and buying a home and doing a number of things there. I started a gospel songwriters workshop while I was there, since I am a songwriter, and I've been writing for a long time. As a child, I used to love to read. I was always a very avid reader. And I love to write. And so I would write, just a lot of things, but never tried to get anything published. I didn't think I was quite smart enough or adept enough at writing that I would have anything that anybody would want to purchase. So I just enjoyed doing it. And I used to write songs and write a little poetry. And so when I started that song workshop, I did that for about a little over 20 years, and we would work with up-and-coming songwriters and just teaching them about songwriting technique and how to get their songs published and that kind of thing. And then I worked for Gospel Magazine for several years. There was a gentleman who started the magazine in the Pensacola area, and I started working with him and doing some writing for his magazine, and I ultimately became the publisher of that magazine for several years. He was a military guy, and he ended up moving away from Pensacola, and he asked me if I would take over the magazine. So I agreed to do that. And I did that for several years, and I did a number of things. And so ultimately, my husband and I ended up moving back here to the Tampa Bay area in 2010. And just relaxing and still working with the workshop. But I decided that after talking about writing a book for so long, I told him, I'm going to write a book. So my husband finally said to me, I'm tired of you telling me about these books that you're going to write. You haven't done anything but talk. And so instead of doing all that talking, you need to go ahead and write this book if you're going to write it. All the people you're going to talk about are going to be dead by the time you get it done. So I said, well, I guess he's right. I need to go ahead and do something. If I'm going to do it, I guess I better do it. So around 2017 is when I decided that I was going to actually sit down and try to write a book. And the first book that I did do was a memoir, and it was a book of short stories, and they are true stories, although I have changed all the names in the book to, as I say, protect the innocent. And I don't think I've said anything bad, but I found that truth has a different way of being true for everybody, because how I see it and how I experienced it may not be the same way that somebody else experienced it. Therefore, my truth may not necessarily be your truth. It doesn't mean that I'm not being honest, and it doesn't mean that I'm not telling the truth or my truth, but it may not be the same experience for you. So I changed the names, and then some of the people I just couldn't remember as I started writing the stories. But I finished it and published it in 2017. I met a lady who helped me to do self-publishing and just moved on from there. And then I just became surprised at some of the other books that I started writing. I did a book of poetry and affirmations, and it is called Enlightenment 2, Building Self-Esteem Through Poems and Positive Affirmations. And then I did 3 children's books as well, which I guess I'll talk about. Now, Marlene, you know you have to stop me because I am a natural talker. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. Through all the talk.
That's fine. You answered about 3 questions all in one shot, but that's okay. How did you come up with the title and what motivated you to write the first book?
Well, as I said, I think most authors, and I don't know if this is true for every author, but I think a lot of authors, their first book is usually very autobiographical. I think a lot of people end up putting a lot in their book about themselves. And I think that's what happened to me. The idea came when I started thinking about how many times we go through experiences in our life that sometimes we don't get the point. We never understand why we keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. And that was the same thing happening to me in my life that, you know, I kept thinking, wow, I've done this before. I've been here, like deja vu. And so I started thinking about that. And then it seems that God was showing me, because you didn't get the lesson. And so therefore, I started putting together these lessons that I felt that I had learned, but it took me a long time sometimes to really learn them. And I found out that there were other people just like me who were having some of these same experiences that many times we don't understand them when we first go through them, but we find out that we can't move to the next level until we pass that lesson. You have to get through the lesson and understand the point before God will take you through another lesson. And so that's where the impetus became about enlightenment, because all of a sudden it hit me like, okay, I got it, Lord. I got it. I finally figured out what you were trying to tell me in this lesson. And so it is sometimes we have to look back in our lives in order for us to be able to move forward to the next lesson that God is trying to teach us. So that's where the idea came. And I had a very dear friend of mine who sort of helped me with that title. And we started tossing out titles, and Looking Back to Move Forward seemed to be the best fit for what I was trying to do.
Wow. I love what you said about truth. That really is true. And I'd like to ask you to talk a little bit about the format of the book. It's very well written and organized, and it really is good medicine in story form. So you said it's a memoir, so therefore it is nonfiction, but it's told in story form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's told in story form. It is nonfiction, but at first I had it, you know, where I wanted to do it, I guess, like just one whole book, but each story had its own lesson. It seems like each phase of my life that I was telling about, or each lesson, it seemed like it had its own story and its own point at which I became enlightened about the lesson. So therefore, I did it in parts. And I started talking about, you know, as a younger child and some experiences I had, and then through high school, college, and just kind of moved it that way after I got married and so forth. And then as we ended up moving back to Florida, the things behind that I learned from those experiences. So that's the way that it sort of came to me to put the book together. And I did do a lot of reading. As I said, I was a very avid reader, and I still am. I love to read. And so I just started doing a lot of research online through Google, is what I'm trying to say. Google, you know, Googling a lot of things and asking questions and about publishing. And so therefore, and then I wanted to find somebody who could help me, because of course, I've talked to other authors and I've read people that I know who have written books, but I wanted to find out the right way to do it. I wanted to make sure that I tried to do it the right way and the best way that I could. And so, like I said, I just started reading and talking to people who had done books. And so I took some of those ideas, and that's how the book was born.
That's wonderful. Now you're in for a real treat, because Deborah has agreed to give us a small sample from her book. So if you'd like to do your reading, we've got plenty of time. Go ahead. Take your time.
Okay. All right. And before I'm going to just tell you, this particular story is called A Songwriter Is Born. So since we're talking about all of my songwriting things that I love to do, I'm going to tell you this story, and just to show you some of the things that I guess I talk about in the book, and hopefully you can relate to it. Okay, at this point in my life, I had not had a musical dream for quite a while. Consequently, it was a big surprise to me when one night I dreamed about a song in my sleep. As usual, I did not get up to write anything down because I would remember it in the morning. It was a beautiful song. It sounded like the angels were singing to me, and I woke up the next morning singing it. Unlike all the other times I heard singing in my sleep, this time I was actually able to remember the words and the melody of the song. Needless to say, I was so excited to wake up and actually remember something. So I jumped up and ran to the piano to try and play it. To my surprise, praise God, I was able to play it. To my surprise, I was able to put together a few chords and pick out a melody of the song on the piano. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before, and it was very exciting to think I finally remembered a song God was giving to me. I could hardly wait until Mr. Sam got to our house for our piano lessons later in the week. I thought to myself, boy, is he gonna be surprised at what I can do. When the day finally arrived for our lesson, I told Mr. Sam I wrote another song. I heard it in my sleep and I worked on it so I could show you what I had done. It sounds like this. Mr. Sam replies, okay, that sounds great. Can you play it or sing it for me? I said, absolutely. I started playing and singing my song. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it came from Psalms 122, I said proudly, and God gave me this tune. Mr. Sam looked at me with that serious facial expression that he sometimes displayed and said, you wrote that? I said, yes, with such pride and excitement. I know the words are from the Bible, but the melody is mine. I asked him, what do you think? He replied, well, it's very nice. Are you sure you wrote that? And I could detect a little doubt in his voice, but I was so excited about my accomplishment that I put it out of my mind and said, yes, I did. God gave me this song in my sleep, and I know it came from him because it's coming directly from the scripture. Although he still sounded a little skeptical, I thought he was impressed because it sounded so good. Mr. Sam then said, that's very good. That's very nice. Well, I sort of felt like he didn't really believe that I could write a song that good, that sounded that good. So that's why he sounded so skeptical. But his skepticism did not diminish my enthusiasm one bit. I felt proud because I could play and sing a song I had written myself. I asked Mr. Sam, can you show me a few more chords so I can use to make my song sound even better? Yes, he said. He then showed me a few extra chords to help me make it sound a little fuller, and I was off and running. I played it for my husband and my children when they came home. I was proud of myself, and I think they were proud of me too. As usual, I didn't do anything significant with the song, I was glad when they said unto me, but I kept practicing and playing it every chance I got. By this time, a few years had passed since I had written that song. And I had written several other songs in the interim, but I was most proud of that one. One day, as I was working around the house, I was listening to the radio and I heard a song being played that sounded vaguely familiar. It was a hand clapping, foot stomping song that said, "I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I thought this song had a close similarity to my song. The words, of course, were the same that I had heard in my dream because they were scripture-based, but the tune was almost identical to my tune, but just a little bit faster. I couldn't believe it. "How can anybody know my song?" I said to myself. "This can't be happening to me," I said out loud. "Somebody is singing my song. I just don't believe it. How could somebody know my song? I never shared it with anybody but Mr. Sam and my family," I thought. "What am I going to do?" I then thought, "I'm going to call that radio station right now and find out who in the world is singing my song." It's amazing how indignant you feel when something like this happens. Now, I know I hadn't done anything with the song, but I had big plans, at least in my mind. I hurriedly dialed the number to WRNE Radio, and Jimmy John Howard, the gospel DJ, answered the phone. 980 WRNE, Jimmy John speaking," he replied. "How can I help you?" Being a regular listener of the station during the week, I was pretty familiar with Jimmy John. I had spoken to him on a few occasions, and I knew he could answer my question right away. I felt comfortable speaking to him about my issue. He listened patiently as I explained the reason for my call. So I said, "You're playing my song," I said in an excited tone. "I am," he said, with a puzzled tone. He inquired, "What song are you talking about?" I said, "The song you're playing right now. I was glad when they said unto me," I said, in a boastful manner. "Yes, I wrote that song in a very matter-of-fact way." He said, "You did?" I said, "Yes, I did, several years ago." He said, "Okay, I didn't know that." I then asked him in a confused tone, "Who is singing my song? Who is this choir?" He then said, "Let me look it up for you. I didn't know you wrote songs." I said with a bit of pride in my voice, "Yes, I do. And this is one of my best." He then said, "Well, it looks like the Georgia Mass Choir is singing this song." I then asked him, "When was this album released?" He replied, "Let me get the album cover and I'll check it for you." 1979, he responded. 1979, I said. I said, out loud. It became painfully obvious that I made a big mistake. I laughed out loud and said to Jimmy John, "I guess maybe I didn't write that song after all, huh?" He said, "I guess not." We both started laughing, and I told him, "Thank you very much, and I'll talk with you later." As I slowly hung up the phone, I couldn't imagine how I could have made such a huge mistake in thinking that I wrote this song. Okay.
Wow. That was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful reading. And it's so true. A lot of us, I think, have had a similar situation where we absolutely were sure it was something we've done and it came out of our subconscious. But
yeah. And the funny thing about it is that, many times you couldn't have convinced me until that point that I had not written that song. I did hear it in my sleep. But I know now that God was trying to teach me a few things that I didn't understand. And of course, you'll have to read the rest of the story in order to, figure out all the stuff that he was teaching me and what really happened. But, many of us have had the same experience, whether it be some invention that we got and then we didn't tell anybody, or we told just our family or friends about it, somebody very close, and then all of a sudden somebody comes up with that same invention, and then you say, "How did they know that I had that idea 10 years ago? However, I didn't do anything with it." It could be something as simple as some plan that you put in place or some class that you decided you wanted to teach or something, but you didn't do anything with it. And so somebody else apparently had the same idea that you had and they moved on with it. So that was kind of the impetus behind that story, Marlene. I was embarrassed after I called the radio station and told him how I had written this great song. So, but hey, it happens.
Yeah, but at least he was very gracious and very kind about it, which is really good.
Yeah.
Now, one other question. Since you've been on both sides of the fence, how do you find the difference between being an author and being an editor?
Being an author and being an editor. Well, I'll tell you, I think that as an author, you definitely need to hire an editor because you have to, of course, read through your book and do your very best to use the spell checker and all of those things to try and make sure that you have gotten any mistakes that you have. It's very difficult to edit your own work, I think, from my perspective. But as an editor of the magazine, I did not do that alone, which was really good. I did do the editing and pick stories that were going to go in the magazine, but I also had others who helped me with the editing because it is very easy as you're reading something to know what you intended to say. However, it may not be said exactly the way you intended to say it. And somebody else reading it can point it out right away. And you could be reading over it again and again. So, yeah, I have been in an editor's seat. However, none of my books, even though I read through them and I went back and made changes and I re-edited and I worked on it again and I put it down and I went back. But when it came down to it, I spent the money to hire a professional editor to make sure that I did not miss anything, any obvious things that should not be in there because I wanted the book to be as professional as possible. And I do want people to take me seriously as a writer and as an author.
Absolutely. Now, being a native of Florida, I have to ask, have you had any harrowing hurricane experiences that you might write about in the future?
Oh, my goodness. I am sure I've been involved in several harrowing experiences in Florida with hurricanes. I don't think you can grow up here and not have any. Hurricane Ivan, I think, was the worst one that we had when I lived in Pensacola, Florida. We had Hurricane Opal and our electricity was out for several weeks. But Ivan, it knocked us out of business there for several months. The children were out of school. We didn't have any power. We had it just messed up the water plant. So we didn't have water turned off. And my main thing is anybody who knows me, of course, knows me well, knows that I'm a talker by nature and I love my telephone. And when the cell towers went down and my telephone went off and I was like isolated, I'm like, oh man, this is horrible because I, of course, talked to my mom every day. And when I couldn't get to my telephone, it was a major incident. So Ivan put us out of business, but then we had all the blue tarps and everything. And it was a really truly major hurricane. But then Katrina came the next year, which was 2005. Ivan was 2004. And of course, Katrina came in 2005. It did not hit Pensacola, thank God, directly, but we felt many of the effects and we were still recovering from Ivan. So yeah, that may be one of those things that I might end up writing about going through Hurricane Ivan because it was truly a major, major, major hurricane. Now Katrina was also very major, but man, we had already been damaged by Ivan. And if you lived in Pensacola, it was truly major. We were very blessed, my husband and I, that the only thing that happened, we did lose some of our fence, a couple of shingles off the house, that kind of thing. But boy, that phone, that telephone being down, that was a major thing for me. So when when they got some phone towers back up and we could use our phone, I was back in hog heaven. The water, I could do without the water, even though I love to take a bath. Now, don't get me wrong. And the electricity, you know, we opened the windows and thank God Ivan was in September. And so, you know, so it wasn't quite as hot, but that phone thing really got me. So I'm a phone junkie. I need my phone. So anyway.
Wow. So we have some time, so you can tell us about some of your other publications as well.
Okay. Well, as I said, I do have a second book that I did. It is called Enlightenment 2, Building Self-Esteem Through Poems and Positive Affirmations. I wrote a number of poems, and it is mainly about building self-esteem, about who you are, being proud of who you are, who God made you to be, whether that, because many times we are all dissatisfied with something about ourselves, whether it be our hair, our eyes, we're not tall enough, we're not short enough, we're not skinny enough, we're not fat enough, whatever it is, you know, we all have issues about something about our lives that we're dissatisfied about. But God just gave me to write about just being happy with who he made us to be. It doesn't mean that we can't improve ourselves and that we shouldn't improve ourselves. But at the same time, we should not be so upset that somebody else has this. And so therefore, I want that because they have it. We need to learn how to appreciate what he has given us. So I started with the I, just being who I am, the personal pronoun of I and me and my. And then I expanded it out to you, and then to they and we, and then I moved it out to the greater world, and you know, just talked about the world around us and poems and affirmations, just being happy with what God gave you as a person. So that's where that book came from, and he enlightened me about that as well. And then I started with several children's books. And the children's books, my first one was called Pennies Make Dollars. And it's all about teaching children financial literacy, just getting them to start thinking about saving their money. Because a lot of us, even as adults, it's hard for us sometimes to want to save money. We know how to spend it very well. But then when it comes to saving for things, my husband used to always have a saying. He was an accountant by education. And he used to always say that most of us, we spend our money for what we want and we beg for what we need. And he always used to say we need to turn that around. We need to save for the things we want and then spend our money for the things we need. And so that gave me the idea for writing the book Pennies Make Dollars, because pennies do add up. And then I did a second book called Baby Sue Learns to Count. And it's for the little ones, just to teach them about how important numbers are, because you can't count money if you don't know how to count numbers. And so that's where the idea for that book came. And then the third book is called Dollars with Sense. And it's all about teaching the children how to use their money with their S-E-N-S-E and not the C-E-N-T-S of sense. And I try to teach other lessons about the usage of words, homophones and homonyms and homophones and things like that when you think about words. So there are several lessons that I teach in that, not only just the literacy of my character, KK, opening a savings account and learning how to think about something other than a video game and buying candy and cookies and things that children love to do, but to also get him to think more about using his money with his sense, S-E-N-S-E. So that's where those books came from. And then I also have a poem that was published in the author's, oh my goodness, I wrote it on my bio, guys, so y'all can read it, but I can't think of it right now. But I have a poem in that anthology. And then I also have a short story that I did. It's called Three Women on the Road. And it is another one of those true stories, but the names have been changed to protect the innocent. and it was in the anthology of African American history. So that is another one that I did. And I'm also working on several other books that I need to settle myself down. And of course, if I had my husband here, he passed away in 2021 and I miss him greatly. But, you know, life does go on and I think he's pushing me forward. And I have about five other books that I'm working on, two more to finish up my series with my children. And then also I have some other books that I have been working on. I have chapters done, but I need to settle myself down and finish those books.
Oh, man, I know the feeling. I hear you. So before we go any further, would you tell us where your books are available and in what formats and how to get in touch with you, your website, things like that?
Okay, yes. Anyone who would like to obtain a copy of my books, Enlightenment, the book we're talking about tonight, is available on Amazon, anywhere print books can be purchased or digital books. It is also on Audible as well as Kindle. It is in ebook format also. So you can get that book in any of those formats. Enlightenment 2, Building Self-Esteem Through Poems and Positive Affirmations, and also my children's books, you can get them on Amazon, Books a Million, any place that books are sold, as well as Kindle. All of those are available. My website is Deborah the Writer. Deborah the Writer, D-E-B-R-A Deborah, thewriter.com. That is my website, and you can obtain those books through that email. And then you can also email me at DeborahTheWriter55@gmail.com. And you can obtain any of my books, you know, just by sending me an email. And I would love to hear from any of you or any of you out there. Please let your friends know. Books make great gifts. They make great gifts. So you can obtain any of my books that way. I am planning to have my other books recorded. I want to do them myself. I had planned to do that, and my husband has started working with me on that, but I'm going to make him proud because I am going to go ahead and eventually get that done. Hopefully I won't wait until something else happens and do it. Hopefully, Marlene, I did answer your question. I did give all the information.
Absolutely. And one final question, and then we'll turn it over to Deanna to take audience questions. Do you have any favorite authors you would like to mention or types of books? Because you do a wide variety of writing, you must do a wide variety of reading.
I do. I tell you, my one of my favorite genres of reading, I love Westerns. I love Westerns. I can sit and watch Westerns all day, and I can read books about Westerners all day. And William W. Johnstone is one of my favorite Western writers. I've read numerous books written by him. I love also science fiction. I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. I watch it every night, the same ones. Captain Kirk and Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock. I love Star Trek. Any of the Star Treks. I can watch them anytime, day or night. I do like a little some history, and I do love a little mystery as well. So I read anything that I think is going to teach me something. I love cookbooks. I used to collect cookbooks, especially when I could read them myself, and I would try all the different recipes. I have a ton of cookbooks on my shelf, and I enjoy going in there and using those recipes. So now I have to do it a little bit differently. I don't buy as many cookbooks as I used to, but I do order them and read them, you know, via Kindle, or I put them, you know, write the recipes down on my phone and do them that way. So yeah, that just gives you some idea, but I do love historical fiction. I read a little bit of everything, really, to be honest. You know, I enjoy reading. I love poetry, and I've written quite a bit of poetry. I didn't know that I was actually somewhat of a poet, maybe because I'm a songwriter and I love writing songs, and I've written a lot of songs, and I sing with a family group. Marlene, I'm gonna turn this over. I sing with a family group. Our group is called Dynamic Vision Singers. We are the Dynamic Vision Singers, and it is myself, my three sisters, my brother-in-law, and my youngest son sings in our group. My mom used to sing with us, but she passed away. But it's a family group, and you can find any of our music, the Dynamic Vision Singers. You can find it on YouTube. You can find us on Pandora. You can find us on Amazon Music. Any of those things that you can think of that I can't think of right now, my son would know and he could say, but you can find our music. Gloryland Gospel plays our music, and I've written some songs and on the CD project that we have. So I love writing and I love reading, and you can see, Marlene, I love to talk. So I'm done.
That is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Deborah. It's been a joy to talk with you. Over to you, Deanna.
Okay, first hand up is Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hey there. Deborah, that was a great presentation. I loved the reading of your story, and I'm glad that you, and it's a good thing you didn't take that any farther, because it's a good thing you didn't take that song that you thought you wrote any further, because I read once a story in Helen Keller's autobiography years ago. She writes about one time when she was a little girl, she wrote a story and tried to enter it in a contest or got it published or something. It turned out that a published author had written a similar story, and she was accused of plagiarizing that story. And boy, I was afraid that it was going to end, that yours was going to end like that. I'm glad it didn't. So my question is, I downloaded your book from Audible, but before doing that, I played a sample, and that narrator sounds almost like you. So I'm just wondering how you found her, and maybe talk about your process of putting the book on Audible.
The young lady who did the narration for me, she actually is a very good friend of mine.
Oh,
loved her voice. She's very well-spoken and eloquent, and she just has such a great tone to her voice. And I thought she would make a good narrator to read the book. And I asked her if she would do it, and she said yes. She graciously said yes. Because, of course, I didn't think I could do it, and I was glad that she agreed to do it. But she was someone I knew, and so she did an outstanding job with it.
Well, that's great. So did you have to get some kind of, did she just record it with her iPhone, or did you have to get some kind of specialized equipment? Because that's what I've heard you have to do.
She recorded it in a studio.
Oh, okay.
Friend who owns a radio station in Pensacola. I told you guys I spent over 30 years in Pensacola,
right.
And I know a number of people, but I have a friend, a very dear friend, who owns a radio station there. And he knew a guy who's an audio engineer, and he had a studio, and he helped record a lot of his commercials for the station. And so he got this guy to actually do the recording, and he knew exactly what I needed that was required. And it was Find Away Voices that I published the book through.
Oh, okay.
Under that Find Away Voices.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And so they gave me all of the, all of the stuff that you needed in order to be able to upload the book and all of that. So they tell you what the requirements are. And this
guy.
Uh-huh. And so he was able to do that for me.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next hand up is Alice Massa.
Thank you, Deanna and Marlene. Yeah. My goodness, Deborah, what a wonderful presentation for us. And what a treat to hear you sing, my dear. I absolutely love your singing voice. And I know what I'm going to be doing later. I'm reading your book for the second time, but I know I am going to be listening to your singing with your family later on tonight. That's going to be something that I'll look forward to. I had the same thought as Abby did. Mary Armstrong does a wonderful job reading your book, but my goodness, I think you ought to be reading those other four books, because you certainly have a talent for that as well. So I'll look forward to hearing those other books of yours being read with your own voice. Marlene mentioned about how well written and well organized your book is. Instead of chapters, it's in parts. But Are you one of those individuals who outlined the book first, or are you just such a well-organized person that the stories that you shared in these various parts came out so extremely well-organized? Did you use an outline?
Honestly, no, I did not. And it's not because I wouldn't use an outline. I just never was very good at outlining. And so I tell people that you don't have to really be a great outliner, but it is great to have an outline because I think it helps you stay in focus on what you're doing. I think I'm using that more now that I've gotten into writing, but my technique just was write it all down. That's what I did. I wrote everything I wanted to say. I just wrote it. I just typed it out. And, you know, as I thought of it, I just typed it. And then I went back and started reading through it. And then I said, oh, that doesn't go there. This needs to be here. And then started organizing it that way. I think it's maybe a lot more work doing it that way, but it seemed to have worked well for me. And then I also have to say thank you to Candy Publishing. Lavender Williams is the lady that helped me to do the self-publishing and with her company, Candy Publishing. And also a big shout out to Laura McKnight, who was she edited all of my books for me. I got her through Lavender, and she has been absolutely wonderful. I didn't even realize I knew this lady. Her son and my son went to school together. I had no idea she was an editor. And it just happens we just ended up meeting each other via that and found out we had, you know, our sons had been friends in school. So you just never know who God brings back into your life for whatever reason. But yeah, I did not do the outline thing at the time. It was just kind of dump everything there and then go back and read it and reread it and read it again until it started making sense to me and until the story started, you know, formulating themselves into what it has become now.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I'm curious, since I read the book via Kindle, can you describe for us the cover of your book? And also, can you mention how you secured illustrators for your children's books? And thank you again.
Okay, thank you, Alice. The cover of the book has a picture. The picture is actually a picture of me at the age that I am or was at that time that I published the book. And then there's a very young picture of me as a young woman. And the older woman of myself is looking into this mirror and looking back at a younger version of herself. And it has a piano on the cover and a road. So it kind of describes as she, the older me, is looking back at the younger me and the road that I traveled and the things that I've done in my life that made up the book. So that's how the cover was designed. I found the illustrator, the person who did the cover for me, through Candy Publishing. And he did a great job. He did my first two books, Enlightenment, Looking Back to Move Forward, and also Enlightenment, Building Self-Esteem, Poems and Positive Affirmations. I figure if it wasn't broke, why don't fix it, as they say. But he did those illustrations. And then for my children's book, I ended up going with the company, and it's called Royston. It's called Royston Publishing. And she did the same type of thing that Candy Publishing did. I chose to go with an indie publishing company because this way I could choose the things that I wanted help with. And those are the things that she helped provide. And she gave me some names of illustrators. And I looked through some of the illustrations and had my children and other friends to look at the different illustrators that she had given me. And I picked the illustrator who did all three of the books based on that. I liked his artwork and the colorization that he gave my characters in the book. And he did such a magnificent job. His name is Cameron Wilson. That's the young man who did the children's books for me. But Julia Royston is the person with Royston Publishing that I went through. And she, of course, helped me to get everything published, put it on Amazon in the different places. And I used my same editor, but she also made sure the book was formatted properly and those kind of things, make sure it was copyrighted and so forth. So stuff that I didn't want to do, that was where I needed that indie publisher to help me to do those things.
And are both of those based in Florida?
No, Julia Royston, Royston Publishing, she's out of Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh my
God. Andy Publishing, she's out of Alabama, I believe somewhere near Dothan or someplace like that. She's somewhere in Alabama. And her name is Lavenda Williams, but her company is Candy Publishing, and you can find her under candypublishing.com. And then Royston Publishing, I believe she is just RoystonPublishing.com as well. Yeah.
Thank you for all the information.
Glad to share. Thank you.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. You talked about rewrites and rewrites. That's the way I write, I'm afraid, because I'm never quite satisfied with the way it looks. And I may go back to it 5 or 6 times before. And maybe I only change one little part of it. But finally, when it feels like it's done, I'll try to do something with it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think sometimes you just have to read it and put it away and, you know, go back and do something else and come back and pick it up and reread it again in order to make sure it is saying what you want it to say. And even having done all of that, and I wrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it and put it down and wrote it, and did rewriting and rearranging, even after doing all of that, and I had several people that I knew, I used men as well as women to read the book and got their opinion as well, you know, things that they thought I needed to change or things that weren't clear. And I had one very, very good friend who she was so helpful because I think sometimes people will read your stuff and they don't want to hurt your feelings. And mm-hmm. So they really won't be honest and say, you know, this is really not working for me or I didn't understand that. But my friend Atheldra, she did such a wonderful job with me. And she says, all right, Deb, we're going to sit and go through this. And she went page by page and told me what she thought about it. I didn't understand this, or I think you need to do that, or are you sure you want to use that particular word? So she really made me think and, you know, go back and redo it. And I was really happy that she did that, because if she had not done that, I don't think it would be as good of a story or the book as good as it as I think it is. You know, because I cried over it. I could have said, like I did do with my songs. I write songs, and all of us, though, these books and poems and songs, they're our babies. They're like our babies. And you don't, you know, you really don't want anybody messing with your baby. But if you want to send it out to the world, you have to have other people's opinion. You can't live in this vacuum and think that, man, it's good because God gave it to me. God gave people editing ability. God gave other people writing ability. God gave people how to play music and how to organize and orchestrate. He gave other people other gifts that you may not have. And so if you keep your mind closed, then you won't be as good as you could be, or maybe you won't get where you could get if you were to open yourself up to somebody else looking and giving you some ideas. So I was really glad that everybody read it, all the people that I had to read it and send it back to me, because I really wanted it to be something that people could identify with.
Mm-hmm. Well, next hand up is Cheryl Key.
That's my sister.
One of my Hello.
Hello.
Okay. So I was thinking about how you were saying your writing style, you just write everything. And I am a potential aspiring writer. And when I'm working on something, or when I was working on something, I would start just writing. But my thing is, I would go back and read it. Well, then, of course, as I'm reading it, then I'm adding more to what I'm reading. And so it's like throwing yeast into dough. It kind of seemed like it was growing and getting out of control. So what advice do you have for an aspiring writer?
I think you have to keep doing just what you're doing. It will grow. But as you keep reading through it, some of those things, and I don't throw any, at least for me, I didn't throw anything, even if I didn't think it belonged there or it didn't fit, I would cut it and paste it into another document that I called my scraps document. So I wouldn't throw anything away because I may need it for something else. So yeah, it I don't think it matters how big it gets. I think as you go through and read it, it'll start making sense to you once you go back and read it. And then because some things will just stand out. You might start out talking about airplanes, and then all of a sudden you're talking about shoes, and you say, oh, wow. Yeah, that is a good story, but shoes don't go in here with my airplanes. So you just cut the shoes out and stick with the airplanes and move the shoes over to another chapter or to another place. And then you can go back and pick up the shoes later, but finish what you started on the airplane. And I think it will materialize, but you just have to keep writing and writing until you get it all out. And that's what I did. I just kept writing and writing and writing until I got out everything I thought I wanted to say. And then once I got it all out, then I went through and started figuring out, okay, where does this go? Does this belong with this story that I'm trying to tell? And then I started moving the pieces into different spots. And I think that, I guess that is a form of outlining. It's just that it's not a formal way of outlining. So I would say, yeah, just keep writing. Don't get discouraged and say, oh, I'm writing and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense at first. I think you just have to write everything you think you want to say. And then once you put it away, go back and read it. It'll start to clarify, I think, become clearer to you.
Excellent advice. This is Marlene. I think it's time to turn it over to Marilyn. And then if we have any more hands, we can take those.
Hello, everybody. This is Marilyn Smith. I'm president of Behind Our Eyes. And Deborah, I've got to say, you are just a bundle of energy. Such a dynamic presentation tonight and such a good reader. You must continue to share with us, because there are a couple of things that you've talked about that rang a bell with me. Researching through Google, I have the speaker you talk to, and sometimes I have to word the thing 5,000 times before I get the information. He has it. I just got to get him to find it. Mm-hmm. Also, the gospel music topic, I've got to get in touch with you about that, because my husband's family, about five members, have been in various Southern gospel trios. And used to be when we would all get together around somebody's swimming pool on 4th of July, the music would just ring the sky. So I love doing that kind of thing, and I do want to hear your family's music. I want to let people know a little bit more about Behind Our Eyes, those who are on Zoom and those who may see this on our website. Deborah's one of our newer members, and I am so excited that she's participating so actively in our Sunday night groups. I want to tell everybody that our Sunday night sessions, we meet first and third Sundays, and we have administrative meetings, speakers, panels, critiques. We have a program chair who is responsible for figuring all that out. And we also have some classes available for our members. We hope to build that more in that direction. You can learn more about Behind Our Eyes by going to behindoureyes.org. We are a nonprofit international organization, and we have lots of programs to offer. Of course, you know about the book launch because you are participating in it now. We also have an online magazine, Magnets and Ladders, and you don't have to be a member of our organization. You just have to be a writer with a disability, and you can submit to that publication. Go to magnetsandladders.org to to get guidelines, you can go to behindoureyes.org to find out how to become a member, or to visit our special events page where we feature certain Sunday night sessions and other things that were of particular import in our development. Our email list is very friendly, and it's not real high traffic, except in April when we celebrate National Poetry Month. I wouldn't tell anybody it's not high traffic sometimes then, but it's something we really enjoy. And you have a chance to share your blog on that list, and it's wonderful networking with other writers. You might find someone there whose interests are very similar to yours and exchange critiques and take the relationship to a new level about what book you're working on or what magazine you've submitted to. We have just released our third anthology, A Literary Sunburst, Behind Our Eyes 3, A Literary Sunburst. Right now, it's primarily and most easily available at Barnes & Noble. You can order it through there, and we hope to have other options more accessible and easy to find in the future. We are certainly working toward that. We're very happy that everyone was here tonight, and we hope that you'll keep checking the current and upcoming presentations for our book launches. I will turn it back over to Marlene, Deanna, or Annie, whoever is
catching the ball. Okay, I don't see any additional hands, so I think we can say have a lovely evening. Hope you enjoyed our program tonight. I did. So, Annie, if you want to close us out.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you, Marlene. And especially thank you, Deborah, for a wonderful presentation.
Good night, and thank you all.
Thank you, Behind Our Eyes.